Good morning, Walsall. My name is Jimmy. My colleagues and I, we are ministers of the gospel, and we are here to declare to you, testify as to the living and true God, and to tell you of the good news that He has recorded for us in His words in the Bible, and there alone. We offer to you a copy of God's Word, His written Word, that is, that is to be found in the Bible and nowhere else. This is an extract from the Bible entitled John's Gospel. If you would like a copy, it's offered to you freely, without any obligation or cost to you. We also have full Bibles and New Testaments. If you would like one, then do feel free to come and ask us for one. It is the Word of God. It is the incorruptible Word of God, the unchangeable. It is like as God is Himself. It is unchangeable, and it is saving. It has the ability, it has the power to save, to bring men and women to salvation. That is, out of their natural born state, their damn worthy state, and to bring them into a place of safety and security in the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, through faith in His name. There's no other way by which a man, a woman can be saved, can be reconciled to God, only through the death and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Not by seeking, trying to be good, not by seeking to reform, change their lives, and not either by being religious, going to church, saying their prayers, doing their beads, doing the five stations of the five pillars of Islam, or the 12 stations of the cross. No, my friends, not even by keeping God's law. God's law is important, summarized for us by Jesus when He says that the law is summarized in this way. He says that we should love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the summary, a brief summary of God's law. But it is summarized also in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in this way, in the Ten Commandments, beginning with, Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and finishes with the Tenth Commandment, Thou shalt not covet. Summaries of what God requires of us, how God requires us to live in His world. I mean, He's our maker, He's the sovereign creator of all things, the universe, everything in it. He's the sovereign creator of mankind, and He's our sovereign provider too. And He's the one through whom we live and move and have our being. Without Him you cannot breathe, and without Him you cannot even have a meaningful thought. So away with the foolish notion that there is no God, as the psalmist says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. Everybody knows that God is, so we'll clear that away to begin with. We won't trouble ourselves with any evidence or any proofs, as it were, as to God's existence. You know He exists, I know He does, so does every man, woman, and child born into this world. But of course, men don't want there to be a God. That's a different thing altogether. Don't want there to be. Why? Well, because they know that they are not right with Him. They know that He's displeased with them. They know that His wrath is upon them. But it's because of their apostasy, because of their departure from God, that the wrath of God is upon them. The Bible says in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, check it out for yourself, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness, all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, in wickedness, in ungodliness, that is. Because of this, the wrath of God lies upon you. And you need saving from the wrath of God. You need to be saved from your denial of God, your departure from God. And of course, you need saving from your transgressions against God. This is what sin is. The Bible says transgression of the law. Not the law of the land, not the law of the state, but the law of God, those Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All heathen religion, false religion, that's embraced by people the world over, contrary to God's commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Idolatry. Idolatry. The hearts of men and women the world over are idol factories. We produce idols by the day. Idolatry, my friends, the sin against the second commandment. And then, of course, the commandments go on. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not for playing football. It's not for watching football. It's not for entertainment. It's for seeking the kingdom of God and worshiping God. The Sabbath day, Sunday that is, the first day of the week, Resurrection Day, the day when the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And then they go on, thou shalt, honor thy father and thy mother, learning and being in subjection, that is, to authority. Not just parents, not just the state, and not just the agents of the state, policemen, magistrates, judges, and so on, but ultimately subject to God's authority, declared, of course, here in His holy law. And then thou shalt not kill by means of adultery, euthanasia, drugs, violence. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The immorality, the sexual immorality, deviance, perversity, that abounds in your land, in your nation, and I dare say even here in the town of Walsall today. All such is contrary to God's commandments, and for such as he, God will bring men and women to judgment. God will judge you one day for all your misdeeds, for all your misdemeanors, for all your transgressions, all your sins, that is. And day by day, you treasure them up. Amen. And you're treasuring up wrath. Amen. For the day of wrath. Amen. The day when God, you see, will pour out his wrath and vengeance, I tell you, upon unregenerate sinners, transgressors of God's law. And that's why, my friends, we tell you, you need a Savior. You need one who has the ability to save you from such a life, such a state and condition, such misery, to get you out of your sin nature from which comes your sin practice, to cause you, that is, to be reborn, born again, as Jesus puts it. And my friends, to reform your life in a measure to bring you to that place of at least being willing, desirous of living in obedience to God's law. And that one, that Savior, the only one, only mediator between God and man, is the man Christ Jesus, the one mighty to save, the one mighty to conquer sin and hell and death, and to resurrect, make alive, that is, sinners dead in their trespasses and sins, make them alive and bring them to God. He died, the just for the unjust, for that reason, that purpose to bring us to God. And now we come to commandment number 8 today, that thou shalt not steal. You see, these commandments, the last 6 of God's commandments, well, they are given, you see, for protection for your neighbor, you see. As Jesus says, the sum of God's commandments is that you should love God. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 commandments. And then that you should love your neighbor. That's all the other 6, you see. Because when you kill by means of abortion, euthanasia, well, you're not loving your neighbor. You're killing your neighbor. When you feed your neighbor drugs, you know, when you do violence to your neighbor, you're killing your neighbor. You're not loving your neighbor. When you do the false religion, when you worship Muhammad, when you worship the Pope, when you worship Buddha, you're not worshiping the one true and living God. You are transgressing against the first and second commandments. So you see, my friends, sins against God and sins against your neighbor. And that's what stealing, that's what theft is. How you doing, sir? Have a good day. How about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? What?
Listen to your talking.
Oh, you're listening to me talking. That's good. I like a lot more, would. So, my friends, you see, these last 6 commandments, they are given for protection of your neighbor. You're to love your neighbor, so if you truly, really love your neighbor, you will not steal from your neighbor. You will not take your neighbor's property. You will not take your neighbor's wife. That would be adultery as well. So you see, my friends, thou shalt not steal. Well, that's a commandment. Well, I dare say that every man, woman, and child born into this world, excepting, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, has broken. He was the sinless one. He never broke any one of God's commandments. But you and I, we've broken them all. But here, you see, my friends, is the love that is due to your neighbor. Not to steal from your neighbor. Not to take that which belongs to your neighbor. It's his, not yours. It's hers, not yours. So, thou shalt not steal. This is another commandment. And of course, failure to render to your neighbor what is due to your neighbor, well, that is stealing too. Just simply not to love your neighbor. You're robbing your neighbor of what is due to your neighbor. And what's due to your neighbor but love? So you're robbing your neighbor of the love, you see, that you ought to be expressing towards your neighbor. Men and women, today in your modern society, all you talk about love, 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 love. Let's all just love one another, they say, you know. But my friends, you don't know what it means until you experience the God of love, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, He is love. God is love, unquestionably. But until you know Him, and until you know His love, experience His love, my friend, you'll never be able to love Him and never be able to love your neighbor. Now, my friends, all your songs, your media, talk about love, 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 but without knowing what it actually is, and unable to love your neighbor, robbing your neighbor day by day by not loving them. Oh, let's all, we don't need religion, they say. We don't need the gospel, they say. We don't need Jesus, they say. Let's all just love one another, but you cannot. Even you religious people, you cannot love one another. You go about hating God and hating. This is the natural state and condition of men born into this world, you see. Conceived in sin, born in sin, and live in sin, in transgression of the law of God, that is. Not loving God and not loving their neighbor and not giving to their neighbor that which is due to them, which is love. And so you rob your neighbor of love when you go about God's world as you do, hating God and hating your neighbor. And all the songs and all the media tripe from Hollywood and out of the BBC and every other television channel, my friends, will not make human beings, will not bring men and women to that place of affording to their neighbor that which is due, and that is love. So you see, my friends, not loving your neighbor, that's theft to begin with. And God says, thou shalt not steal. My friends, it means using a just and lawful means, that is, of prospering, of getting the things that you want. You want a new car? Well, the answer is not to steal one. The answer is to get a job. The answer is to work lawfully, legally, consistently, and save up your money and buy a car. Thou shalt not steal. You want a new phone? Well, you don't steal the phone. You get yourself a job. You earn wages lawfully and legally. You put your money in the bank, yeah, and it grows with interest. You save your money up, and then you buy yourself a new phone. But to steal, you see, to steal from your neighbor, anything that is your neighbor, it's unlawful. It's illegal, not just in terms of the state, not just the magistrate will deal with you, but God will deal with you for your theft. That is not what it is, my friend. Whether it be a motor car, or whether it be somebody's house, or somebody's wife, or somebody's pencil. Theft, my friends, theft. It's against the commandments of God. It's transgression, it's sin. These are the things, my friends, for which you are treasuring up wrath for the day of wrath, for the day of judgment, that is, when God will judge you for your thieving, for you're not loving your neighbor, for you're not having lawful employment, and earning your own crust, earning your own bread, instead of stealing from other people. Thou shalt not steal. Legitimate, regular work, my friends, to provide for yourself and to provide for your family. There's an admonition, my friends. There's an admonition. You need to listen to this. Hey, dude, you need to listen to this. Get yourself a job. Get yourself a job, man. Huh? Get yourself to work. See, lawful employment, my friend. There's an admonition in the New Testament, don't you know? It says this: if a man don't work, he don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. Yeah? Get yourselves jobs, says God, you know? Instead of stealing from the government, instead of stealing from your neighbor, instead of stealing from God. You see, my friends, commandment breaking, sin, transgressions of God's law, which we are all of us guilty of, and of course accountable to God for, accountable to the state, accountable to the government, accountable to your neighbor, but accountable to God ultimately. And what about the pandemic? No, I don't mean the COVID-19. I don't mean the virus. I mean the pandemic of theft. Ah, that's a pandemic. Robbing God, my friend. Robbing God of what's due to God. The worship that's due to God. That's what you were made for, don't you know? And when you don't worship God as you ought to do, the true and living God, in the way that He requires, in spirit and in truth, having been regenerated, having been born again, made a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, with the ability to worship God. But my friends, you don't give God the due that is due to Him, the worship that's due to Him. You're robbing Him. You're robbing God, you see. That's God's indictment against you. When you worship false gods, strange gods, the gods of Roman Catholicism, the gods of Islam, of Buddhism, Confucianism, all 9,900 false religions that permeate your world today, when by these means you worship these strange deities, my friends, you are robbing God, the true and living God. You are robbing Him. Thieving, theft, my friends, thou shalt not steal. You're robbing God of that which is due to Him. His worship, His glory, that's the thing that you are made for, don't you know? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's your primary purpose. And I tell you, my friends, whatever you achieve, however high you climb the ladder in society, you become a CEO, you become a celebrity, you become a big money person, whatever you achieve, whatever you earn, the gold-plated pension, whatever you become in this world, if you do not glorify God with your living, with your life and being, my friends, you have not even begun, my friends, to reach your highest aim, and that is to glorify God. But you don't glorify God with your life, body and soul, with the entirety of your being, then, my friends, you're robbing God. You're guilty of theft. You're robbing God of the worship, the glory that's due to His name. And what about the obedience that God requires of you? Obedience, that is, to His law, to His commandments, all 10 of them. You're robbing God, you see, when you live contrary to God. This, my friends, is what's meant by ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, godless even. Living contrary to, being contrary to God, and living contrary to God, contrary to His commandments, that is. Why He's given them to us, written with the finger of God. The rest of the Bible, you could say, was written by men, inspired by God, breathed out by God, but written by men, men appointed of God, men carried along by the Spirit of God to write the things that they wrote. But these 10 commandments, my friends, they were written in stone, and they were written by the finger of God Himself, and written down so that we would not forget them, written down so that we would never lose them. So you see, my friends, the revealed law of God given to us in His love, in His grace, in order that we might live in accordance with His law, obedience to His law, the obedience that God requires of you. But of course, the first line of obedience is now, of course, that you should repent of your disobedience. So you rob God, you see. You've not repented of your sin. Do not repent of your sin day by day, and believe on and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. My friends, you rob God. You rob Him of the due. What's due to Him? The worship, the glory, the obedience, the repentance, the faith. God requires, the Bible says, New Testament. God now requires, He commanded all men everywhere to repent. Except you repent, says the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall all perish. So you see, my friends, obedience. And here is the first line of obedience. Repentance, turning from your sin, seeking God and seeking his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you, says Jesus. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance, in other words, which required of you. God's due that you're robbing them all. The pandemic of theft, my friend, all over the world today, throughout humanity, robbing God of that which is due to him. Thou shalt not steal, says God, from your neighbor, from your fellow man, nor from me, the Most High God, the Lord of hosts, the God who is the judge of all the earth, and the God who will bring you to judgment. Lest that is you obey him, give him his due obedience, that is, to repent of your sin, to turn from your wicked ways, your lifestyle of disobedience to God's law. Change of mind, my friends. A change of heart deep within you. A change, I say to you, of cataclysmic depth. Revolution in your heart, my friend. Renewal and restoration to God. And living in gratitude and thankfulness for all that God is to you. Your maker, in him you live and move and have your being. Your provider, he provides you with food. He provides you with rain and due season. He provides you with everything. And my friend, having repented, having turned from your sin and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and coming to an assurance of salvation, eternal life in his name, living a life of gratitude expressed how? By obedience to these commandments of which we speak. The God, you see, here's the wonderful thing, here's the good news. Apart from the commandment, apart from the law of God, that God has provided even for thieves. He's provided for idolaters, blasphemers. He's provided for homosexuals, sodomites and lesbians, for thieves, for the covetous, for murderers, for killers, manslayers. God has made provision for all kinds of sinners, my friend. He's given us a gospel. He's given us good news. And it's good news for sinners. But I guess if you're not a sinner, if you're one of those who live in denial of God and denial of your sin, bury your head in the sand like an ostrich and say, I never did no wrong. I never murdered anyone. I never killed anyone. As though that was the sum and substance of sin. No, my friend, we have all sinned and all come short of the glory of God. And all in need of this good news, this gospel that's for all kinds of sinners, all kinds of lawbreakers. And the only means by which you can be reconciled to God, brought back to God, brought to the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the salvation of God. So even for thieves, my friend, even for thieves, I tell you, God has made provision for thieves. They can be reconciled to God. They can be forgiven. They can be pardoned. They can go to heaven. There was a thief at the side of Jesus when he was dying on the cross. He was a thief. He was a murderer. He was an insurrectionist, a rioter, in other words, you know. And then with his dying breath, he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember me when you come into your kingdom, he said to him. And Jesus assured him in that act of repentance and in faith in turning to Jesus Christ with his dying breath. Jesus said to him, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thieves can be saved, my friend. You might have been a thief all your life long. Well, you have been, because you've been robbing God all your life long. You've never done anything else. You're a thief. You're a thief, my friend. We're all thieves, all of us. We've robbed God. We've robbed our neighbor. And for that, my friend, judgment is due. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came and lived a blameless life, free of theft. Jesus Christ gave glory to God his Father. Jesus Christ came and paid the penalty for the thief. Jesus Christ took the wrath, the punishment, the penalty for thieves and robbers. He took the wrath of God upon himself on that cross. So that, like that dying thief, those who turn from their sin, who turn from their theft, who turn from their robbery of God and of their neighbor, and turn to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, a gospel, the power of God unto salvation, I tell you. The power to save the worst of thieves, to save killers, manslayers, to save the covetousness, to save the idolatrous, to save salvation. A gospel God has provided for thieves that they might be saved. A gospel good news. Salvation for sinners of all stripes and all kinds. A Savior, the Son of God, sent into the world to die specifically and purposely, anointed and appointed of God. A Son, his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, he sent into the world, my friends, to be cursed and abused, to be mocked and derided by men, even today. And my friends, specifically to go to that cross, to die the death that's due to the thief, to bear the punishment, the wrath, the penalty that's due to sinners the world over. He gave us his very best. He gave his only begotten Son. Don't be saying to us, will you please, that God never did nothing for you. God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth, only believers, that whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. Faith, you see, in the Son of God, that's the operating factor. That's what brings the reconciliation. That's what brings the forgiveness. That's what brings the pardon for thieves and for all kinds of sinners. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. A Son, a Savior, the Savior of the world. Born into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to accomplish salvation for those under the law, under the condemnation of God's law. These commandments, my friends, they condemn us, every one, at every single point. We've broken them all. 1 to 10, every single one of them, broken them all, trampled them underfoot, despised them. Live contrary to them. But God has given us a Son. God has given us a gospel, given us his Son, given us a Savior, one with the ability to save to the uttermost of all your thieving, of all your robbing of God and of your neighbor. Abel, with the ability. Why? Because he is the Son of God and the Son of Man, completely God and completely man, and able to save us completely to the uttermost, all that is who come to God through him. Because you can't come in any other way but through him. No other way by which you can come to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So wherever you be, wherever you come from, whatever your background is, whatever your colour, your creed, it matters not, my friend. God commanded all men, everywhere, the whole planet, everywhere, to repent and to believe the gospel, the good news upon the Son of God, on the Saviour, to have Christ as your Saviour, is, my friends, to receive Him, that is. He came to His own, but His own received Him not, but to them who did receive Him, who believed on His name, to them He gave the right, the power, that is, the authority to become children of God, instead of children of wrath, because of their law breaking, because of their commandment breaking, because of their theft against God and against their neighbor. Thieves, my friend, they can be saved. God has made provision for thieves, those who have robbed God and robbed their neighbor. A promise, my friends, a promise. That's what the gospel is, a promise. Given way, way back at the beginning, in the opening chapters of the Bible, the promise of the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who would come into the world, made of a woman, born of the Virgin. A promise, my friends, a Savior for sinners, for lawbreakers, men and women the world over, apostate from God, departed from God, and living in disobedience to the law of God. A promise of salvation for those who would believe, for those who would rely upon, that is, trust in the one and only mediator God has sent, appointed and anointed to be a Savior, to be a deliverer. A promise from God, from the God who cannot lie. And those who trust in, those who embrace His promise, who believe His promise, and trust in His promise, they get that which is promised. They get eternal life. They get forgiveness. They get pardon. It's the heart of the gospel, my friend. But you got to hear the bad news first. You got to hear the law. You got to receive the condemnation. You got to receive the conviction of the law. The commandment kills. It doesn't give life. Only Jesus can give you life. Only Christ can give you life. You go to the law, you go to the commandments. Every time they condemn you. Every time, my friends, they shred your self-righteousness. But you go from the law, you go from the commandment that killed, and you go to Jesus Christ, you go to the Son of God, you go to the Lamb of God, the heart of the gospel, a Son, a Savior, a promise, salvation, forgiveness, the heart of the gospel, that there is forgiveness with God, that He may be feared, respected, that is. For forgiveness, my friends, at no cost to you, but I tell you, at phenomenal cost to God. His Son, His only begotten Son, His Savior, the Son of God, sent into the world to pay the price, to pay the cost of this so great salvation, that those who believe the promise of God, that those who take God at His word, who receive the engrafted word that's able to save their soul. That's the word of God. That's the Bible in its entirety, my friend. It's a promise from God. Salvation, eternal life, never to die. Heaven instead of hell. A heavenly mansion instead of a hellish hovel. A promise from God, salvation, everlasting life, forgiveness, reconciliation to God, no longer an enemy of God, but a friend of God. A promise, a promise. That's what it is. For those who will believe the promise. But you reject the promise. You reject God's promise. You have nothing left. Nothing left but the fearful looking for of judgment. Nothing left but justice. Nothing left but the law. Nothing left but these 10 commandments. Like 10 great big cannon guns pointed in your direction with a divine finger on the trigger waiting at a God-appointed time to blow you away into a lost eternity, into the damnation of hell forever and ever and ever. Unless that is you repent, unless that is you turn, unless you repent and believe the gospel, that's your end. The pit, the blackness of darkness forever, the pit of hell, the prison, eternal torment, where the flame never dies, where the worm dieth not, tormented by a fully awakened conscience for all eternity, in the torment and in the flames of hell. That's the end. That's the wrath of God poured out upon you fully and fiercely in that day when God judges you. And we will all appear before the judgment throne of God. But my friends, there's an escape. There's a way by which a man, there's a way by which a woman can get a pass on that day. And my friends, that way is Jesus Christ. His name and His name alone. Neither is there salvation in any other name. None other name under heaven given amongst men by which you must be saved. Salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God alone. A promise to be received, my friend. And a promise that does not fail. A promise, my friends, received by millions, millions of people through the generations. Many even today receiving God's promise, they get what's promised. They get eternal life. They get forgiveness of their sins, their transgression. They get God. They get friendship. They get reconciliation to God. Oh, it's good news, my friends, for sinners. Good news, my friends, for lawbreakers. It's good news, my friends, for those who truly believe, who rest in, who trust in the Son of God, who came into the world for this reason and this purpose to save sinners. So Jesus, He bids you today, my friends, again. He demands of you. He commands you, my friends, another commandment in the New Testament this time. Repent ye and believe the gospel, He said. For the kingdom of God's grace, love and favor, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Another divine command, repent ye and believe the gospel. Also, repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, check these things out for yourself and see that they are so. What if God offered to you, no cost, no obligation to you, if you'd like a copy of God's Word, come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. May God bless you also. and the mercy, mercy I see upon your precious, precious, never dying soul.